to help me to create the podcast. Every podcast starts with the texts I usually type on my phone. I start either late in the evening or early in the morning, and then during the day, as soon as the opportunity arises, I add something, correct something, delete something. And when I understand that it is impossible to add or subtract anything, I record what was written on my small voice recorder, and then send this recording to my producer Stevie in the USA. It does not work like that every day. Sometimes for 2, 3, or even 4 days, I do not have the opportunity to write not a line. And sometimes there is simply no internet connection to send the recorded material. In a position close to the Russians, we turn off mobile phones as the Russians can track their signal and strike at us. At the front, carrying a switched one mobile phone in your pocket is like carrying a huge target with the inscription, "Russians, here I am, shoot at me." I try to make every episode quality and interesting. After all, my podcast is the biggest source of income for my family. And in order for the listeners not to lose interest and continue to help me, it must be filled with meaning. Brian, after one of the episodes of my podcast dedicated to the Ukrainian executed Renaissance, also asked me, "Death of which one of the Ukrainian writers and poets who died at the hands of Stalin's killers I consider the greatest loss?" I cannot give you a specific name. Among those killed when, in the 1930s, hundreds of figures of Ukrainian culture. I am well acquainted with works of some of them. For example, I read books of Valerian Podmohylny with pleasure, and about others I have not even heard. But that doesn't mean that their deaths weren't the tragedy for a nation. By the way, it is still not known exactly how many Ukrainian poets and writers, musicians and artists died when. There are several incomplete lists of the names of those about whom it is known for certain that they were shot or tortured to death in the Stalin's camps. And many of these people were younger than me. Some are much younger. They were 30, 33 years old. And they died only because in Moscow they were considered two Ukrainians. Soviet government was afraid that the Ukrainian culture revived by these people would be more integral and alive than the faded and stupid official Soviet one. And one more question, this time from Vincent. He asks if NATO mobilization and the strengthening of the alliance military contingents will help Ukraine. Will this mobilization force the Russians to withdraw part of their occupying corps from Ukraine? Unfortunately, Vincent, no NATO movement even in the immediate vicinity of the Russian border, no reinforcement of contingents in Eastern Europe will distract the Russians from killing Ukrainians and destroying our cities. Putin and his gang understand that NATO will not intervene and protect those countries that are not a part of the alliance. This was clear already after Russian invasion in Georgia in 2008 and was once again confirmed during the occupation of Crimea in 2014. Actually, NATO officials do not hide the fact that they do not want a direct clash with Russia. They say it directly. For Putin, such a statement sounds like permission to continue the war and occupation.